I am so excited to have David MacGyver with us. David is has written this book called Looking for the One. He spoke in one of our classes last year. I had him speak a little bit in the service about a year ago, and then we went out, because as reading this and hearing his heart, I just said, I got to get to know this guy. We got to know each other. Our hearts are aligned. One thing you don't, maybe, I don't, maybe I told you, I don't know, but you have been running since 1985, a 100,000 watt station, right? And it's started in Osaka with one signal. It's now gone to 60 throughout the Midwest, as well as in 1996 had a satellite. So now it's in Africa and also in the Middle East areas. And God has done incredible work through what you've been doing. 14 years prior to that, you and your wife, Sherry, were involved with the Minnesota Twins. Is that who they are? Just kidding. I'm a Cub fan. But anyway, as a chaplain. And in that book, there's a number of people. Rod Carew gives an endorsement with regard to this. We have books out in the back. We'd love for you to get it. Maybe do it even with a group study. And just there's discussion questions and other things. What I didn't tell you is that maybe you do know this, but I ran a 100,000 watt station called Spirit FM down in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, up to Palm Beach area. And I have to tell you, that is one of the most incredible gifts and privileges that I've had as a pastor, because we would come along the church almost like an associate pastor in worship, in God's word, and we would come together and God would move in churches. So we had the ability to not only give that signal out, but to be a signal that united people around Jesus. And you get to do that, and you've done that in incredible ways. So, David, I'm so excited that you are with us. Would you just, I would love for you just to give him a hand as he comes forward. Thank you.
Honored to be with you today, and honored as well, if you listen from 10 to 2 each day on 95.3 FM, Sandra, if you'd please wave your hand. Sandra's with us, so bless you, Sandra. She'll be in the back after the service. We have a table for you for books, but more importantly, we have a small little card that I'll be walking you through that is a fantastic way to have spiritual conversations with people. It's the size of a business card, and my wife and I have watched in wonder as people hear these six short lines called the Salvation Poem, as people invite Jesus in. A special thanks to Dan Woodbury. Dan, are you here this morning? There he is. Dan worked for years with Praise Live, helping us with donor relations, which meant Dan prayed for people, loved people, encouraged people. So Dan, thank you for that. And it was Dan who introduced me to people like Dick Augustine, and I had a chance to speak at your Sunday school. By the way, after Dick was finished introducing me, we could have had the altar call at that moment, because it was, you know what I'm talking about, it's over. I have a story for you that happened at a hockey game, and it started here at Westgate. So Jesus, as we hear this story, sometimes a story becomes a parable of something that you can do for us, because it's walking into a hockey game or hockey arena, or coffee shop, or school, or kitchen, and knowing who you're looking for. And Jesus, when you open our eyes to who you're looking for, then you show us someone's heart, and you show us what would unlock someone's heart. And Holy Spirit, you are here to release an anointing for Westgate to see people through the eyes of Jesus, to open hearts, to open eyes, and open up a city. So Holy Spirit, come. Come in this room. We just invite you. Holy Spirit, come. Person of the Holy Spirit, we welcome you. In Jesus' name, amen. So at this Sunday school class, many of you know Sam Johnson, who's a part of this church. Great guy. And he'd indicated, I was hoping he'd be here today, but he could not be here today. And Sam works with the Minnesota Wild, works in communications, works in media. And I was sharing with your Sunday school that Praise Live, we love sports ministry, we love all kinds of ministry, but we can take the gospel into an arena like Target Field. We love that. So Sam came up and said, hey, we're doing Faith and Family Night with the Minnesota Wild, would you like to be a sponsor? So Sandra, we're like, yes, of course we would love to do that. And so I showed up at the, I'd never been to a Minnesota Wild game, grew up watching the North Stars. So I'm excited to go to my first hockey game and showed up at the arena and I told the young man, he's like 20 years old, I'm here for Faith Night, Praise Live, any place in particular I should park. And he goes, that's my radio station, 95.3. And I'm praying with this guy who's the parking attendant and telling him, I have this vision of his life in this moment. You think you're just a parking attendant. Actually, this is far more than that. How you're learning to treat people, how you're learning to see people. And we have this moment where I get to speak into his purpose. And I'm thinking, maybe he was the one, because I go into every room, not every room, I might miss, but 99% of the time I ask Jesus who he's looking for in a room or an arena, but so many times he shows me who it is. So after the Faith and Family Day program, which was before the game, then these three students from the University of Minnesota were in attendance, and they'd been given the book, Looking for the One, and they all play, two of them play for the women's hockey team. One of the guys plays for the Gophers men's team, and they wanted prayer for healing, and they wanted prayer about where do we go in life. And this prayer meeting, this is sinful to confess this, Kevin, I'm not as spiritual as you are. I'm praying with these kids, and we've been praying for half an hour, and I'm aware that I'm missing the game, and I'm starting to get a little twitchy, like I'm missing the game. And we get done praying, and there's a security guard watching who came up and starts sharing about his life. And when you're looking for the one, oftentimes it is the simplest question, but I remember asking him at one point, because I'm looking for the one as being in two conversations at once. So I'm asking him as he's telling about something else and he's telling us about his wife. He says, my wife is one of those born agains. So if you're listening carefully, you know he's not one of those born agains. And I asked him, is there anything that has made you uneasy in the last few weeks? Because I'm trying to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And when you're looking for the one, it is absolutely critical that you recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because he's speaking to you, and oftentimes we don't hear it, we don't understand it, we don't perceive it. So he said, as a matter of fact, and he tells about a situation where his life was in danger. So I asked him, would you like your own relationship with Jesus? And he basically said, well, I go to church a couple times a year. And just a thought for you, when you're looking for someone who needs Jesus, you can go off onto the rabbit trail into church attendance or whatever it might be, or someone wants to talk about politics, but it's not a conversation about politics. Your role is to bring the conversation back to Jesus. And so I listened to him a bit more, and I just asked again, would you like your own relationship with Jesus? And what was really cool, the three kids from the Golden Gopher hockey teams, they're standing around him, and they're not in a hurry. I love that about this generation. They just see him. And then he just opened up, and I had a chance to pray with them, and he invites Jesus in. And after we pray, he says, you know, it's kind of incredible. He said, several weeks ago, I was up in one of the suites, and a guy had a heart attack, and I watched them come rushing in, the EMTs. It was these two guys, and they tried this, they tried that, they tried, I think it was three things, and they said to each other, we've got one thing left to try, otherwise he's gone. And they revived this guy, and he said, ever since I watched that, I've been thinking about heaven. So we get to the hockey game. The first period's already done. This is sad. I can't remember if we were ahead or behind. I'm thinking about the security guard. And the second period ends, and I'm sitting there, and I'm suddenly compelled to go home early. And when you are walking with Jesus, and you're suddenly prompted, don't take that lightly. So I've missed it so many times, but this time I just stood up and I told our Praise Live team, I got to go. And I take a few steps, and I'm just get to the top of the steps, and I step into this other area, and I hear a voice say, David, David. And I look over, and it's this young lady that my wife and I have known for many years. We've had several conversations with her about Jesus, and she's not antagonistic to the gospel. She's just not open. And we start visiting, and I can see that something's been happening with her health. And I asked if I could pray for her, which, by the way, is a great way to look for the one, just to pray for people. And we get done with the prayer, and I saw something. I'm looking into her eyes, and there was a different look. Something had changed. And so I just said, I love this question, by the way. Would you like your own relationship with Jesus? And she said, yeah, I would. So I just walked her through this simple little poem. I carry this in my wallet. I carry it in my pocket. And walked her through, Jesus, you died upon a cross. And you don't ask someone if he did die on the cross. You ask someone, do you know why he died on the cross? Romans 3:23, because we've sinned. And rose again to save the lost. And then these words, I asked her, have you ever said, forgive me now of all my sin? And she said, I've never said that. And my favorite line in the poem, come be my Savior, Lord, and friend. Savior, sins forgiven. Lord, I'm not in charge of my life. And friend, I walk with the one who will never leave me, never forsake me. And then change my life and make it new. And help me, Lord, to live for you. She prays the most. Oh, I'm telling you, when you look into someone's eyes, when they invite Jesus in, I don't know what compares to that. Because some people's eyes are angry, some are lost, some are lonely, some are afraid. But when someone lifts up their eyes and they see Jesus, you get the front row seat. So she opens her eyes, and when you look for the one, you're stepping into a story that Jesus is writing. He's the director, he's the author, he's the perfecter, and you just step into this story. She looks at me and she says, you know, I've been thinking about heaven for several weeks. She said, several weeks ago I was in one of the suites and a guy had a heart attack. And I'm like you, like I'm getting goosebumps right now. She said, she describes the whole thing. They made the three attempts, it came down to the fourth attempt, and you know how this guy is rescued. And she said, I've been thinking for several weeks about heaven and hell. She said the word hell. And she said, it's funny, like right before you came walking by, the team put up on the screen, the guy who was rescued is here tonight with the two EMTs who rescued him, and they just had the three of them up on the screens. So she's reminded of the rescue, and she said, they're up on the screens, and I look, and there you are. And you walk into a hockey arena, and Jesus has this story he's writing, right? He's got the EMTs there. He's got the guy whose life was spared. And out of how many thousand people, Jesus is saying, who will go? And all you have to do is be the one that's sitting in a hockey arena and just says, Jesus, you tell me to go home now. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to delay. I'm going to get up and go. And when you do, you arrive just as the window opens, because people are open sometimes for just a moment. So the window opens for her to remember, and there you are. I want you to have moments like that over and over, where you're in the right place at the right time and you see eyes opened up. Jesus said, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them, what do you do? Am I the only one that was raised on a farm that grew up taking care of sheep? Is there any other sheep farmers in the audience? I'm guessing I'm standing here solo. Okay. okay? And I remember my dad sending me out to get the sheep who were over this hill on our farm, so they're out of sight. And I'm out there looking for them, and he told me how to call. I'm not going to imitate it, but he had a way of calling to them. And nothing's happening, so I came back, and I said, Dad, I can't find the sheep. And my dad walks outside, and he calls, and I can hear the sound. They all come running over this hill because they know the voice of the shepherd. And as you walk with Jesus, you know the voice of the shepherd, who says, as he's describing his heart, you leave the other 99 sheep in the pasture and go looking for the one that got lost until you find it. That's how you know you're done. Then you call your friends and neighbors together and say to them, I'm so happy I found whose lost sheep? My lost sheep. Let us celebrate. So when Jesus wants to reach a Samaritan village, you might remember the story. He goes to a well, and there's a woman there. She's been married. Anyone remember how many times she's been married? Is it 3 times, 4 times, 5 times? Scandalous back in the day. And he goes to the well, he sees her, and when this woman is seen by Jesus, received by him, it says in John chapter 4, the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone, if you watch The Chosen, come and see. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So here's why running, looking for the one has multiplication. So the people came streaming from the village to see him. It's like you can hear her saying, come and see the one who came to see me. So moments after this encounter, Jesus said, when he talks about the gospel, almost always talks about how we see. He says, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. You may have noticed that trying to save the world is really exhausting. Some of you, I see you nodding your heads, trying to save your whole family. But walking into a hockey arena and just asking Jesus, show me the one, is actually energizing. Because you're just walking into a story that God is writing. Looking for the one is not a formula. It's not fill out this form. There are times filling out forms is powerful. We need information. But your focus is simply on one person. So this week I'm listening to Billy Graham from a message given decades ago. And I was going down the road, and I just loved what he said. He said, I speak to great crowds, but some of the greatest opportunities I've ever had have been with one person. One of the greatest sermons Jesus ever preached, he preached to Nicodemus. One of the greatest sermons Paul ever preached was to Felix. Just witness to one person about Christ. And then he tells a story about Philip the evangelist, who's ministering to thousands of people. And the Holy Spirit tells him to leave thousands of people and go find a man in the middle of nowhere who's trying to understand Isaiah 53. And Billy Graham says, Philip was told to leave a crowd to go speak to one man trying to understand Isaiah 53 because God wanted the gospel to go south into Africa. So one man holds the key to a continent. And you're willing to go look for that one. The one you're looking for holds the key to possibly your family, to your city. Or what if the one you're looking for holds a key to a nation? Your church, dearly beloved, is no ordinary church. In the kingdom, God gives keys, he talks about it, that unlock things. And as a guest today, I would like to inform you that your church is going to be strategic and unlocking Minneapolis-St. Paul. I've prayed about it. I've asked the Lord In fact, I was driving down the road, God, is this really Westgate? It's not just the name of your church. It's a prophetic calling. As I'm driving down the road wondering about this, Billy Graham comes on and tells me about somebody who needs to unlock a continent. So how do you unlock a city or unlock a family? By the way, I was raised in a church, great church, but they would rarely ever tell me how. Don't be anxious. See you next week. Keep yourself pure. See you next week. I was thrilled when I was here and heard Pastor Kevin that he was like, this is how you do this. I appreciate you, brother. Major League Baseball players, I've asked them this question for 14 seasons. Did you ever go to church? Yes. Did they ever tell you how? Nope. And I would say to them, for our chapels, we're going to walk you through how. And that's one reason so many guys came to chapel. So how do you look for the one? Take a walk with Jesus, because he's the one looking. Isaiah 34, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I love how personal this is. I myself will search and find my sheep. I'll be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock, and I'll find my sheep and rescue them from all the places they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. You're concerned about someone, they belong to the Lord Jesus. And he wants to look for them through you. Secondly, begin your day with Jesus. I'm going to challenge you to do something today that Bill Bright challenged me to do many years ago. Bill Bright would start the day before taking a single step. He would slide out of bed to his knees and ask Jesus to anoint him, to send him. I have a guy in a small group. He's in his 70s, and he said, I've tried this a few times, and he said, I don't know what to pray about. You know, I was like, it's okay. Just take a minute to dedicate your day to Jesus before you take a single step. In addition to beginning your day with Jesus, I encourage you to kneel with Jesus. Look for moments when you can kneel down. So in the last few months, this is new for me. I'm walking into stores, and the first few times it happened, I thought it was a coincidence, and then it's happening over and over. I have children, young children, 2 and 3 years old, following me around, staring at me. So this is totally new. Because I've not been the guy in the years gone by. I like kids. I love kids. But they don't run to me. And they've been running to me and staring to the point where the parents come up and they're apologizing. And I finally realized this is the Holy Spirit. There's something in this child sensing something of Jesus. So I was in Whole Foods in Maple Grove. This little girl, I'm trying to buy coffee creamer for my wife, because you coffee people, some of you are really picky about your coffee. My wife is really picky about the coffee thing, and she's the best. So I'm looking for the So Delicious French Vanilla, it's this thing, and they've been out of stock. So I'm on the phone with Sherry, and I can feel these little eyes on me, and I look over, and it's this little girl, and I got off the phone, and I knelt down in front of her, I instantly saw her like Jesus would see her. I can't explain it. I saw her future. And I just said, I just speak the life of Jesus to you. You're going to lead people in a way that is gentle and strong at the same time. And you have a future and a hope and a calling. And I look up and her mom is crying, which is a good thing, I guess. I could have been in trouble. And when you look for the one, you develop a point where you'd rather have Jesus, as Bev Shea said many years ago. You just rather have Jesus. So I speak over her, I pray over her, and I'm up at the front buying my groceries, and there's a tap on my shoulder, and mom is holding her little girl and says, she wants to sing over you. Is that okay? I'm like, sure. So there's little girls who sing and you can't hear them. This little girl has the pipes. And I wish I'd taken my phone out, because I work in Christian radio 39 years, like my brother here, and I don't know this song. She's singing over me. It's like this waterfall of the love of Jesus. And the whole front of the store just, nobody's breathing as she sings over me. And she gets down and her mom says, "Would you pray for me? I'm battling infertility, dreaming of another baby." So where are we going to pray? We're going to pray right there at the cash registers, right? What? And people are listening in, because Jesus invites us to kneel in front of children. So is there someone that you need to kneel in front of? Someone that's offended you? Someone that Jesus is looking for? Because if you do, it's because Jesus has anointed you to do that. All of this walking, being aware of what's happening, is more and more and more you're walking into rooms and you're seeing things through the eyes of Jesus. It's so interesting in the Gospels, where we read, when Jesus saw the crowds, he saw they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He saw things that his followers didn't see. And how many times did people bring children and Jesus saw the future and his followers saw somebody in the way? I have a question for you that's going to be answered in Luke 7. The question for you is, have you ever poured out your perfume on the feet of Jesus? Luke 7, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house, reclined at the table, and a woman in that town who lived a sinful life, and you look up in all the commentaries, sinful life, woman of the street, prostitute. She learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. Back in New Testament times, ladies, the perfume was not kept on the nightstand. Many women carried perfume around their neck in an alabaster jar. That was a common thing. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair. She kissed them and poured perfume on them. And you know the story, I'm guessing. The Pharisee is offended and says, if this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner. Jesus asks one of the most important questions that you will ever answer. He turned toward the woman and he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman?" And sometimes you wonder, like, did he whisper it to Simon, right? Or, I mean, the whole room is watching this, and the reason it's such a scandal, by the way, Kyle Eidelman, great pastor, teacher, he did a deep dive on this passage, and he said what's so scandalous about this is that it's well known that the perfume of the prostitute is worn around her neck for her clients. She's pouring out that perfume. And the Pharisee sees sin. Jesus sees repentance. She's pouring out perfume she'll never need again. So Jesus turns to Simon and says, do you see her? Or did he turn, like the whole room is watching this, did Jesus turn to Simon and say, do you see her? Like, how hard are your hearts? She came here to pour out her perfume. And you see inappropriate. I shared about this to a group of pastors, and a pastor came forward, and I've only had this happen once in decades of ministry. This pastor came up, and I had to hold him for, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes. He's weeping. He can't talk. And I finally, when he calms down, he said, "Now I know why my daughter told me 31 years ago she never wanted to see me again." He said, "Because I've never seen her." And he said, I'm flying to Texas to go see my daughter. He said, I spoke truth to her. I disapproved of her. I rejected her. I rebuked her, but I've never seen her. So how do you look for the one? In your mind, you're thinking, could I really do this? And if you're thinking to yourself, I'm a lock, I've got all the answers, this is not for you. If you're thinking to yourself, I don't know, this makes me uncomfortable, like what do I say? I encourage you, I spoke on this at a Lutheran church in the Twin Cities, and I was at a Sunday school, and the pastor came to my house a few days later, and he's like, we need boxes of books. I'm like, what's going on? He said, our people got it. He said what got them was, you're so ordinary. They all use that word to describe you, which is such a sweet compliment. So if you think you need to be the expert to do this, Acts 4, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized that they had been with Jesus. So your calling, your invitation, should you choose to accept it, is to unlock someone's heart. But you're not going to use a key. You're going to use something else. I have a little visual for you. It's in bubble wrap because it's actually really expensive. I was stunned to find out that most of the lamps in New Testament times are this size. I'm picturing lamps from New Testament times like lamps. So a gentleman gave me this lamp, and he deals with antiquities. So this lamp really is 2,000 years old. And a friend of this gentleman told me how much he spent on this lamp, and so I'm afraid to even take it out in public. It's thousands. But imagine the imagery when the people of God heard the word of God is a lamp to your feet. So here you are. You're walking along with this lamp. So you're bringing light how far? Like, it's light right here. It's light. It's a 3-foot circle. You guys are still in the dark. It's getting, you might catch a glimpse. So as a church, as a family, as one's called to open up a gate, I'm not going to ask you to carry keys. I'm going to ask you to carry the light and the glory of God in the heart and the posture of a servant. And say, Jesus, show me the next step. Just show me the next step. Because you don't know how to get home. You don't know all the places to go. That's because you're not supposed to. You get to know the next step. So I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, and we're going to see how this goes. I'm going to have you say something. Now, I was not raised in a liturgical background, so if this crashes and burns, you'll know why. When I would speak in Lutheran churches, I would always say to them, get someone else to do the liturgy. Just have me do the message. Psalm 24:9, it's only 3 lines. I'm going to read this through, and then I'm going to have you repeat after me, and we're going to do this a couple of times, because saying things together matters. So here's what you're about to say in a moment from Psalm 24:9. Open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, and let the King of Glory enter. There are spiritual forces in heavenly realms that are ancient that are opposing this city. And as you walk with Jesus, and so many times we think of taking the gospel to a city that we go, we ride in on our horses and we brandish our swords above our head. And I have this sense that your congregation is giving me the ones, this is when people see you coming, this is how they see you coming. here's the light and the glory of Jesus, and I'm approaching you in the posture of a servant. And the city will be open to you. Ancient gates will be open to you as you walk carrying the presence of God, the good news of Jesus, in that kind of humility. There's a grace about your church. There's a humility about your church. That's why your church has been chosen for this. So repeat after me. We're going to do this twice. And by the second time, I'm hoping, like, guys, we need it to be loud in here, okay? Okay. So we're going to go through this twice. So repeat after me. Open up ancient gates.
Open up ancient doors.
And let the King of Glory enter.
Open up ancient gates.
Open up ancient doors.
And let the King of Glory enter.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Jesus, your church has just said yes. These people have just said yes. So come, open their eyes, anoint their hands, show them where to kneel, show them when to speak, and let the lost be found, Jesus.
I know David doesn't know this, but when we were changing our name to Westgate, someone prophesied that very verse over us. Just a few years ago. And I, early in my life, was into the saving business. It's not our job. Our job is to serve people who are lost or confused or lonely or broken, and just to love them. See them how Jesus loves them. That's what we're called to do. And allow the anointing of Jesus to come through us to bring healing into their hearts and their lives. And there are people all around us. They don't look lost. They don't look lonely. They may not look broken in any way, but their hearts are that. And Jesus sees it, and he wants to give us those eyes. I believe he wants to give us those eyes, and he wants us to be trained to hear the Spirit of God. So David's been doing this for a while. This is going to be new for us. You're going to, it's like learning to walk. You're going to fall, you're going to trip, but it's okay. Jesus just loves the fact that our hearts are open. So if you would like to, I just want to, for really the months of November through about March, I just want to do what I call this Team One initiative. It's just going to be an experiment. And if you'd like to be a part of it, it's just that you would pray daily. As he had said, the how. And part of that prayer says, Jesus, would you allow me to see the lost, lonely, and broken around me? And then prompt me, and I'll be obedient. And if you would like to do that and learn a bit more, we're going to talk about that in the fellowship hall, which is right across this hallway here, so right across the lobby. So if you'd like to be a part of that and want to come, I'd love for you to come in there, and we're just going to do just a little bit more around that. But if you can't and you've got to go, you can still be a part of this and still ask God to do this. If you would like prayer, we would love to pray for you. Whatever's going on in your heart, or maybe for someone that you have on your heart, over in that corner, right over there, there'll be people who would love to pray for you. And then there's a table in back, a next step table, which if you're saying, God, what is the next step you want me to do? There would be people there who'd love to talk to you about maybe engagement, further engagement in this body, or finding out what your spiritual gift might be, or any of those things. So right at that next table, there'll be some people to help you. If you'd like to learn more about this too, those books are available in back. We'd love for you to pick them up, maybe do them as a group, and if you're in a small group. But thank you. Thank you for your attentiveness. Thank you, David, for your word. I'm excited about what God's going to do. Spirit of God, I pray that you would anoint each and every person here, that we would be servants who would go out and allow for you to give us eyes to see people around us who need your love, who need your presence, who need you, Jesus. And we just want to be available to do that. And we would pray that you would give us a greater measure of humility and a greater measure of a heart that is merciful and kind and gracious and speaks well of you and others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.